Today's reading is taken from Luke 23:13-24:12. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin.
The woman who had come with Jesus from Galilee saw Joseph and saw the tomb, and how his body was laid in it. Then the woman went home and had spices and perfumes, but resting in the Sabbath is obedient to the commandment.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words.
When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Jonah, Mary, and the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe them, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, bending over, saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Brilliant. Thank you, the drummers. And put your hand up if you like solving mysteries. Well, that's good news, because we are going to be solving a mystery together today, an Easter mystery. And here's the question: what happened that very first Easter? What happened that very first Easter? At Easter, we remember the events when Jesus, on Good Friday, he was killed, he was laid in the tomb. And 3 days later, what happened? That's what we're going to be thinking about today. Now, has everyone got their Easter mystery pack? Because you will need that. And you maybe some of the grown-ups might need to help some of their little ones solving some of those as we go through our time together. Now, to solve a mystery, of course, you need to have clues. You'll see some clues in your pack. We'll get to those in due course. But you also need witnesses. Can anyone tell me what a witness is? Who is a witness? Yeah. Absolutely. Well done, Pippa. Someone who has seen the event. Is that what you said? Absolutely. Someone who has seen the event and can report them back. So we need some witnesses and we need some clues. And we are going to look at three witnesses and three clues to try and solve our Easter mystery. Now, our first witness is going to come down right now. And we need to get he's got it on. Okay, come up here. Well done. Now then. It may not look like it, but this is a very upright, respectable member of Jewish society. And I wonder, Joseph of Arimathea, I think, is that your name?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, Joseph. Can you tell us, what's your job, Joseph?
Well, you see, I am a member of the highest church council in the land. I'm a proud member. I come from a town called Arimathea in Judea.
Thank you. And now, Joseph, you were part of the kind of group who decided to kill Jesus. How did you feel about that decision?
well, actually, I was quite cut up about it. You see, I've become a follower of Jesus, and I'm really sad, unfortunately, that this has happened. Yes.
Okay, and so what did you go to Pilate, the Roman governor, and ask after Jesus had been put on the cross?
Well, you see, I plucked up the courage to go and ask Pilate for Jesus' body. You see, I have a tomb cut out in the rock, and I thought Jesus could be laid in my tomb.
Joseph, thank you very much. Round of applause for our first witness. Thank you, Joseph. We'll see you later. Now, this is the point at which you need to find clue card number one. Okay, clue card number one. And we need to work out what to put on the front. Jesus, really? Now, we'll get to that in a minute. But to solve the clue, turn the card over and you'll see a bit of the Bible. And then you'll see a few questions. I'm going to read that bit of the Bible all together. And then I would like you to talk in your little groups where you're sitting about the answers to those questions. Now, any grown-ups here or teenagers, you've got your own questions to think about, which are going to come up on the screen in just a moment. But so in fact, let me put them up now. Okay, let's read the passage all together and then over to you to see if you can solve the first little mystery. Joseph took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of rock. The women followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Now, all everyone with children, you're on the card. And everyone without children, why don't you have a think about some of the questions up there? Chat amongst yourselves, and we'll come back and see if we can solve that first clue in just a couple of minutes. Okay, I wonder how we've got on. Did anyone get the answer to the first one? Did Joseph think Jesus had really died? Elliot? Yes, he did, because otherwise he wouldn't have put him in a tomb. Here's the next question. Did the women think Jesus had really died? Anyone else? Yeah, Monty. Yes, because otherwise they wouldn't have gone with their spices ready to anoint the body. So who thinks that they know what to fill in on the first clue card? Jesus really... Yes, Alexander. Jesus really died. So fill that one in. And listen, when you get home, by the way, you'll see a little poster here and you can colour it all in. You can stick the clues in the right place and you can pin it up somewhere at home to remind you of the best news in the world, the Easter story. So that's what this bit of paper is for later. So fill in that clue, Jesus really died. And just whilst you do that, children, for the grown-ups, isn't it interesting that no one was expecting a resurrection? Sometimes people think, oh, well, you know, the disciples made up the resurrection because they really wanted it to happen. When you actually read the accounts, no one was expecting it to happen. And so it was a complete surprise to them. Just an interesting thing for us to note as we think about the resurrection for ourselves as well. Okay, now that takes us on to witness number two. We've done witness one and clue one. We now need witness number two. And for that, we have... Now, there were a number of women who watched Jesus dying on the cross. We've read about them and saw where he was buried. And we are now going to hear from one of them. So can I invite Mary to come up to the microphone? Now, your name is... Now, speak nice and close to the microphone so everyone can hear.
Hello, my name is Mary Magdalene.
Okay, Mary, thank you for joining us today. Now, Mary, how did you feel about Jesus dying?
Making you very, very sad. He was one of my best friends and I followed him and yes, quite a lot, and it's very, very sad.
Okay, very, very sad. And so why did you go down to the tomb? Because he died on Friday, so why did you go down to the tomb very early on Sunday morning?
We took spices to form his body. We think it must be very, very smelly by then. We needed the spices, a lot of them.
Okay, Mary, thank you very much. Round of applause for Mary, witness two. Now, at this point, we need to take clue card number two, and we're going to do exactly the same thing. So make sure you find the right clue in your pack. And I'm going to read this bit of the Bible to us all together, And then over to you again to see if you can solve this next bit of the mystery. So here's the next bit of the Bible. It says, the women found a stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so over to you. And for those of our children, here is a question for you to think about whilst the children and their grown-ups have a think about the clue card. Okay, 2 minutes starting from now. Off you go. Okay, how are we all getting on? Did anyone get the answer to that first one? What did the women find? What did they find? Yeah, Annabelle. They found an empty tomb. They found the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. Who can do the next one? What didn't they find? What didn't they find? Yes, Jojo. Well done. They didn't find the body. So on the front bit of the card, who thinks they know the word that we need to fill in? The tomb was really nearly. The tomb was really empty. So why don't you fill that word in if you're doing your clue cards? And just again, whilst the children do that, for the adults, it's worth remembering when we think about the resurrection, no one ever produced a body. No one ever produced a body. So the question we've got to ask if we're working out what happened that first Easter is, what happened to the body? It's very unlikely that the disciples stole the body. They had no motive to. It's very unlikely Jesus' enemies stole the body. They'd have just produced it at the first opportunity when the Christian movement began to grow. It's very unlikely a grave robber robbed it because they left the only valuable bit behind, the grave clothes. What happened to the body? If we're not sure about the resurrection, that's the question we need to ask. We need to come up with a better explanation if we're going to not believe that what the Bible says about a resurrection. So that is clue number two and witness number two. We're going to move straight on to witness number three and clue number three. And our final witness is not actually a person at all, but an angel. So can I welcome our angel onto stage? A round of applause. I think that's entirely appropriate. Now then, how did the women... Now, you turned up, but if I understand correctly, you turned up at the tomb just as the women were arriving.
Yeah, I did. And they were really sad to begin with when they arrived. Tears all over the place. Then they were confused. And then when they saw me, well, they didn't give me a round of applause. They fell down. They were terrified. People always seem to do that when we show up.
Now, here's a question. Why did God send you at this particular moment? Because I've not seen an angel before, and I don't think they had either.
No, but you see, we don't get sent very often. When we get sent to Earth, it's because God has a really special message that he wants to tell people. And that's why we came. That's why I was there.
Okay, Angel, thank you very much. Round of applause for our Angel. Now, clue card number three. I'm going to read the passage again, and then there are a couple of questions for young people to figure out, and a question up here for the adults as well. Let me read it for us. While they were wondering about this, that's the women, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Right, over to you again. See if you can solve clue card number three. Okay, how do we get on? Did anyone get that first one? What did the angel say about Jesus? What did the angel say about Jesus? Yes, Elliot. He's not here. Well done. Anyone else? What else did they say about Jesus? Seth. He's risen from the dead. Absolutely. And did anyone get that second question? Maybe a bit trickier. What did they remind the women about? Did anyone get that one? Yes, Lucy. Absolutely. They reminded him that they shouldn't really have been surprised because Jesus had already told them that he was going to do exactly what he then did. So did anyone reckon they got the last word on the top of the clue card? Jesus really is...
alive!
Okay, well done, Eva Henschel. That is absolutely right. Jesus really is alive. So why don't you fill that last one in? And as I say, when you get home, I hope you might be able to stick them on your special poster, do some nice colouring in, put it up somewhere at home, and remember the good news of Easter. But just before we finish, I think you have been excellent detectives, and I think we've done really well on solving our mystery. What happened that first Easter? Well, Jesus really did rise from the dead. But just as we finish today, I want us to think about what that means for us. So what does it mean for us that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, here's what it means. First of all, it means that Jesus really is God's king. He really is God's king. Do you remember Jesus said beforehand that he would die and then rise again? And then he did exactly that. That means that we can trust that he really is God's king and that everything he says is true. When he said he was going to die on the cross to save us from our sins, that was true as well. When Jesus said he's going to return one day, that's true as well. When Jesus says all we have to do is trust in him and all our sins will be forgiven, that is true as well. He is God's king who we can trust. But here's the other thing it means. Jesus is God's king who can fix our biggest problem. Now, I've got a few things here that fix stuff. So this is my toolkit. It's not a very extensive toolkit, and that's because I don't do very much DIY. But I've got a screwdriver in here, and I've got various other bits and bobs. And what does this help me to fix? Yeah, Meanie? Yeah, broken stuff at home, with which there is increasing amounts in our home. Now, here's something else. Who can see what this is? Yeah, okay. Now, this is cow pole. Let me tell you, there is very little in life that this doesn't fix. Okay, it is wonderful stuff. But no, who can tell me, what does medicine fix? What does medicine help to fix? Yeah, Pippa. Okay, medicine helps us when we're poorly. It helps us to fix when we're ill. Now look, here we go. Here's something fun. I'm not actually, don't worry, Glenn, I'm not going to spray this. But what does this help to fix? Yeah? William? Fire. So if there's a fire, this will help to fix the fire. Now, here's a question. Can any of these things fix our biggest problem? Because, you know, the Bible says we've all got the biggest problem is death. The fact that all of us die. Now, can cowpole stop us from dying? No. How about a fire hydrant? Now, how about even a very, very good toolkit? Here's the thing. We've got lots of things in life that are good at fixing things, but there is nothing in the world that can fix our biggest problem of death. Except Jesus, because Jesus is God's king who rose from the dead and defeated death. He's the only one who can fix our biggest problem. And that's why we think Easter Sunday is the best news in the world, because all we have to do is trust in Jesus and he will fix the biggest problem that all of us have. Because here's the thing, actually, if you are 2 or 4, okay, if you are 7 or 9, if you are a teenager or an adult, all of us have this big problem of death, okay? If you're skeptical or if you're a natural believer, okay, if you are rich or if you are poor, okay, if you are happy or if you are sad, whoever you are, all of us have this same problem, which is why all of us need Jesus and what he did for us that first Easter. And you know, all we have to do is trust in him. He says, instead of putting a crown on our own heads, you can tell that we've got girls at home because this is not a very manly crown, is it? But instead of putting the crown on our own heads, we need to say, Jesus, you're going to be the king from now on. I'm going to put the crown on your head and follow you, and you're my saving king who's going to rescue me from the biggest problem that I have. And maybe this Easter, young people, you can talk to your mums and dads. If you would like to follow Jesus and make him your rescuing king, you can talk to your mums and dads and they'll be able to help you to know how you can say a prayer to him to do that. And maybe even some of the adults. This is something for us to think about, this COVID Easter that has shown us all the big problem that we all have, and wonderfully, the saviour who we all need. I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to carry on with the rest of the service. Let's close our eyes, put our hands together if that helps you to concentrate, and let's say a prayer. So, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for that mystery of the first Easter that we've been looking at today. And thank you that Jesus really did rise from the dead. And that means that he is your rescuing king who can fix our biggest problem. And would you help us to trust him this Easter? And we pray that for Jesus' sake. Amen.